Blessed assurance is our study. Everyone have lesson two? Okay. We have studied that we can be assured. In this world of unbelief and the devil constantly using all of his schemes to attack our faith and undermine our assurance, we need to go back and to revisit what our faith is built on. And the first lesson was God is, and that He made everything very good. He made me. He values me, and He values you. He gives us everything that we need to sustain us. He gives us His Word to so that we may know Him and that we may know how to please Him and how to have the good life that He wants us to have. By that I mean spiritually prosperous, and also the wisdom that the Lord gives us in how to live our lives day by day. And as we see, when we're talking about God loves us. And that brings, and how do we know that God loves us? And that's where we are in our study. This lesson is that I have peace with God. I have forgiveness of my sins. We can be assured of that. We don't have to guess, you know, am I pleasing to God? Am I living the way that I should? When things, the world gets around us and the devil tempts us and everything, and he gives out his lies, and we're going to talk about that further down in the lesson. We're going to look at some of the things, and this is one of the reasons that I wanted us to study some of the points in this lesson is the world is full of lies about how one has peace with God and the things that the devil would want us to believe and even to assure ourselves of so as not to have assurance in the right, in the truth. Okay? So, I think we left off with number two. And so let's turn our Bibles to Mark 16. And, of course, we, as Bible students, know this verse very well. It's nothing new. But, you know, sometimes in the midst of problems or in the midst of doubt, we forget the very simplest things that we know. You know, it just sort of slips away from us. And it is not there for us to take hold on and to take assurance in. What does Mark 16:15-16 say?
And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned.
So, this, who's talking here?
Jesus
is talking here. And he's talking to his disciples, and he's giving them the commission to go teach and everything. What does Jesus promise? Right here. What does he say? And we've already looked in our lesson before that we can take stock. We can take comfort. We can be assured that God's Word is true. And what does Jesus promise here?
Salvation.
And he that believeth the gospel, yes, he's been baptized, as Sandra said, shall be saved.
And he that believeth not shall be damned.
That's right. That's right. And that's the other side of the coin, isn't it? And so, okay, John 6:40. Any comments or anything before we leave? Mark. Okay. John 6:40. Pat, what's that say?
For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him has eternal life, and I myself will live on the last day.
In one little verse, in the midst of a great book about the Son of God, we have so much worth, you know, and so much to glean from, and so much of this promise and that we can take comfort in, so much comfort. Number one, it's the will of the Father. You know, we were talking about that God loves us and he wants what's good for us. And this is the will of the Father. He loved me so much, and he wants the best for me, and this is what he wills for me, that whoever beholds the Son and believes in him. He loved me so much, he wanted what was good for me, that he sent Jesus, and he sent his word, that those who believe in him, what? May have eternal life. And so, this is something that we can count on. We can be assured of this, that if we seek God, if we believe in his Son, if we seek his will for us, we will, it says, be raised in the last day. There are those out there who don't believe in that. We'll try to undermine your faith in that. There are those who only believe in love and mercy of God, and not the other that we looked at Mark a while ago. And so you know, we need to understand God wants me to obey him. He has done everything that is necessary for me to be able to do that, and that I can have hope that he will raise me up in the last day. This is a promise. This is the word of God. This is what he says. And we don't have to doubt that. And any comments or questions about that?
Verse 45 explains
yes.
How we're going to believe in him.
Exactly.
It says it is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. So it's through his word. It's
right.
Not just we believe whatever we want to, and it's just everybody to make up their own mind what that means.
That's right.
It's what God teaches is how we're going to know what we're to do and what qualifies us as a believer.
That's right. That's right, and as we progress through the lesson, as you saw, you know, one of the blessings was this written word, you know, this word of God that he gave us. And of course, in the last lesson, we talked about Psalm 19 and how we can count on the word of God and what it does for us. Okay, let's turn over to Ephesians 1. Thank you, Pat. Great book. Paul's letter to the Ephesians. 1 through 3 talks about the blessings in Christ. 4 through 6, the walk in view of the blessings that we have in Christ and what God would have us to be because he has given us those blessings in Christ. Okay. So much to glean from this. I'll have you all, you know, I've got mine written down here. What did you all find? In Ephesians 1, 3 through 13, what are the blessings that we have in Christ that we can count on, that we can be assured of, that when the world starts to bombard about being in Christ or undermining our faith, or when hard times come and we need to be assured and to take comfort in, because this life sometimes just pose, you know, hard times. And so, what are the blessings that we have?
Adoption.
Okay? Let's first look at 3. Let's look at verse 3 first. What's that say?
Every spiritual blessing.
Every spiritual blessing. It may be that this is the combination, you know, the whole thing, colon, and then he names them, or it could be the first one of all that's listed, you know. But however you take it, it's every spiritual blessing, you know. Okay. And so, in verse 4, he begins to list some more. So what's verse 4?
He chose us.
He chose us to be what?
Holy and blameless.
Holy and blameless. Okay. Before him. And when did he do that? Was that a second thought with God?
Before the foundation of the world.
Before we were even created. Before he even made the sun and the moon and the stars. Before he made the heavens and the earth. He knew. You see this God that we serve? He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's all wise. He's all loving. Before the foundations of the earth, he planned it. And as bad as man got, you would think God changed his mind about it, you know? But he didn't. At the right time, just like he planned, Christ came. All those prophecies beforehand, all those, you know, people forsaking him, all the idolatrous nations, but God is true, God is faithful, and it happened just like he planned. Okay, verse 5. Any comments there before we leave verse 4? Verse 5, what do you find there?
The adoption of being his adopted children.
Okay. What's that mean? To be an adopt, you know, to be as a son. Did slaves, we're to be slaves of righteousness, but did slaves have the same rights as sons? No. We have the rights of inheritance. We have the rights, you know, of the blessings from the Father. This is not something lightly said. This is not something that the Holy Spirit, you know, this adoption as sons is not just a bunch of words that he put in here. It's an idea. It's an assurance that we're special. We're part of his household. That God has taken us in as his children. Not just a bunch of slaves. You remember like the gods of the idolatrous worlds, and they had to bring the food and they bowed down and they did all this kind of thing and everything like that. They were just slaves to that, and they weren't children of those gods, and they didn't have the blessings from those gods. But here God, the Father, you know, has adopted us as sons. Any thoughts? Any questions? Yes.
Is that only if we believe and is baptized in his son? You know, everybody is not his adopted children, are they?
No.
It's only the believers, the mm-hmm. Christians.
Mm-hmm. What is the phrase in verse 3 that puts that in perspective?
In Christ Jesus.
In Christ. And it goes on down. In him, verse 7. In him, in him. And so, to understand what it means to be in Christ and in him, and from our faith in him and the gospel and our acceptance and our obedient faith to that, is what it means to be in Christ, to put on Christ. And there are many passages in the New Testament that speak of that. And so it's talking about later on, we'll come down here to some more blessings about the redemption and everything. It is only in Christ Jesus. Now, she brought up a good point. The world at large, the ones who actually believe that there is a Christ or that there was some person called Christ that actually believe in some kind of God of the universe, wants to believe that, and you know, it's a religious world out there that believe this. Not a bunch of people that don't, agnostics or atheists, but they believe this. And that God, if just by believing in Him, or because you're a good person, or because you are not an atheist or an agnostic, that you are His child. And so, this is a very good point, that it is in Christ Jesus. Point being, why we need to constantly, study God's Word and examine ourselves to see if we are in Him. And it seems so elementary to go over these things, but yet, not only are our hearts affected, but the world in which we live and our children and our grandchildren, are so affected by this. Okay?
Right.
Yes, dear.
I think we only have talked about part of the blessing that's here.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we're adopted as sons, but it was a blessing that He predetermined this. He said He predestinated us to adoption as sons.
Mm-hmm.
So that goes back up to the verse 4, that before the foundation of the world, God knew He was going to choose one people, and we're not Israelites.
No.
And so before He predestined this, and it in verse 5 says how, it answers the question of who's going to be. It's through Jesus Christ.
Right.
To Himself. And so, not only did God adopt us, but He planned all along to adopt us.
Yes.
And set in place this plan from the very beginning as to how He would accomplish that.
Exactly.
Where we could all be His sons, rather than just the Jewish nation that He chose.
That's right. That's right. And it says the kind intention, the loving kindness of God. And we talked about, just from the creation and just from the things that He gives us and everything and how He cares for us. But the kind intention of His heart, and the mercy. And it is only by His mercy and grace. And we'll see that later on. Okay? As verse 6 says, the glory of His grace. Okay. What about... you see, in the Beloved, verse 6, by His grace, He freely bestowed on us. In Him, verse 7, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. Okay, you can take that as one or you can take that as two. I listed redemption means to be delivered or to buy back from sin and death. That's the state that we are in. Okay? We are in sin. And Christ's blood is gave as a ransom to redeem us, buy us back, to deliver, okay, us from sin and spiritual death. And the forgiveness of our trespasses. What a great blessing. Any of you known people who are just so guilt-ridden? Of course, we can read it, David's, Psalm 51 and 32. But, so guilt-ridden that they just really can't cope with the everyday things of life. Or they make, bad choices, and they can't forgive themselves, and they go from bad to worse. Anybody know anybody like that? And it's, so much better when they realize that Christ's blood can forgive them, that they can have forgiveness in that it can take away the guilt of that. And so, but you've got to do this, what the world and Satan calls foolishness, in believing this story about this Son of God who came and died on a cross. And so, you know, that's the devil's way of undermining faith sometimes, is what kind of a ridiculous story is that, you know? It was in the first century, and it is still prevalent today. And so, you know, how can it's like, how can a bunch of blood put on the lintels and the doorpost have the angel pass over when Israel was saved from the death angel with the last plague, the death of the firstborn? They didn't believe that God meant what he said and put the blood on the doorpost. They were lost. They died. And so the same today. You just believe it because that's what God said. That's what God's way is. And so, forgiveness of our trespasses. Verses 8 through 10. In which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things upon the earth. What's that talking about? What's the blessing here?
That he's made known to us this mystery, that we can understand it.
Absolutely. He's revealed the mystery. Christ's kingdom, his lordship, the sonship, the salvation in him through the gospel. Ephesians 3 talks about that. Okay. 1 through 7. This is Paul speaking. He's the writer. He's the apostle. For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for the sake of you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which is given to me for you, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery, which I wrote before in brief. And by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it is now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. To be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, fellow members of the body, fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel, of which I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power. Great blessing you and I have, that the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, not only the Christians in the first century got his preaching, but he wrote it down. We can read it, and we can understand it. God made it in such a form, with words that we can read, that we can understand. We can be assured of the blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. That's a great thing. And it's so sad, you know, when you think of there are people out there that don't have this in their hand, or, you know, that they don't have it so they can read. But we are so blessed, you know. It's there. If they seek, you know, we talked about that. What do you think about somebody who doesn't have this in their home anywhere in the world? Do you think if they went seeking for God and truth, they could find it? Yes or no?
If they don't have the Bible to read and understand for themselves, no matter what they had, do we think that they can be? Well, somebody, you know, may say something to them about it. I'm just thinking,
Isaiah 55 last week. Okay? Verse 6. He's near and he can be found by those who seek him. It's a promise made by a prophet. And it's made again in the New Testament. And so, if someone is seeking truth, if you seek, you will find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. I know he's talking there on the Sermon on the Mount. May even be talking to the apostles there. But he promises that we will. We can know truth, and the truth will make us free. Any thoughts? Okay. Back over in Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. What y'all put down for that? Very interesting.
Did you do 11?
Huh?
Did you do 11?
Well, you know, I didn't. Excuse me. I put my 11 up there with the other inheritance. I'm sorry. Okay, we haven't attained an inheritance. What's that talking about? Thank you, Elizabeth. Having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. What's the inheritance he's talking about?
Eternal life.
Promise of eternal life. Yes. Blessings in Christ Jesus. Inheritance. Promise of eternal life.
Which other inheritance did you put that with? Are you talking about adoption?
Both. Because sons get inheritance. Okay? It's an outgrowth of being adopted as sons. Slaves do not get inheritances. Sons get inheritances. Any other thoughts?
Verse 13 and 14.
Okay. In
him,
in Christ, you have to listen.
Is
right. And there is the, through the praise of his glory. Okay? The Holy Spirit, I went on and put down in 14, the Holy Spirit who is given as a pledge. Okay? Sealed and given as a pledge. What's that mean? It's made secure, isn't it? It's guaranteed. The Holy Spirit puts a seal on it. He says, this is truth. He guarantees it. He seals it. He secures it. We can take confidence that God's promise is true. The Holy Spirit did his work. He had the power. It was proven to be true. And through revelation and confirmation. And so, to God's glory, we can be assured of this. Okay, and like I said, a pledge of our inheritance. Again, 14. Any other thoughts? Any other blessings or that you come up with in there? Okay, 1 John 1 then. In 1 John 1, and I put 7 and 9 there, I think we're going to start reading in verse 3. And Sandra, would you read 1 John 1, 3 through 9, please?
That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you may also have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Okay. What were some of the things that you put down? It's the blessings that we have in Christ. It's down here. Since you all didn't have, you know, I didn't put down three and everything. It talks about having fellowship with God also. Walking in the light. We do not have to walk in darkness. He is light. God is light. We can walk in the light. We can walk with God. We can have fellowship with God. We can be in his likeness, Ephesians 4 says. Okay? I think it's verse 18 and 24, one of those. And so we can have fellowship with God. And as Sharon and Ian come over, we have fellowship with one another. Do we count that a real blessing? How much does that mean to us to have fellowship with one another? You know, and we walk in the light together. Isn't it a great blessing that the Lord in his wisdom has given us one another to help us in this walk with God? And it is such a blessing, but so often we don't take advantage of it. So often we don't thank God for it enough, maybe. Sometimes we don't serve one another that like we really appreciate, you know, that aspect of our spiritual life. And so, you know, it is fellowship with faithful brethren, fellow citizens. Ephesians 2 calls them God's household. So we're members of a household together, striving to follow God, to be like the Father, live with him, and do his will. And so, you know, it is a real blessing. We've studied in this class before, you know, one another blessings and how to serve one another and those kinds of things. Such a blessing to revisit that so often and to examine myself to see if I'm truly thankful for that and what the outgrowth of that is. Okay. And the second part of that, this is truly, truly a great blessing. When it talks about in 7 through 9, the word there, the blood of Jesus cleanses. E-S. Cleanses and keeps on cleansing. Because I don't know about you, but I mess up. And being dumped when I was 13, you know, took care of some things. But what took care of the sins I committed yesterday or probably will do today, you know, if I'm not careful? It keeps on cleansing. But it says, you know, he's faithful and he's righteous to forgive us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But verse 10 says, if we have not sinned, we make him a liar. And the word is not in us. And verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves. Okay? And the truth is not in us. So, you know, it takes a penitent, humble heart to say, you know, God, I need Jesus' blood. And I need your forgiveness, you know. And I keep on needing it, trying to do better. You know, Lord wants us to grow. He wants us to do better. In fact, we're going to look at 1 John 5 over here, you know, about, 1 John 1, about his thoughts on that, about sin, okay, and about living in sin. But this is what he wants us to know, that it keeps on cleansing. We can. Yeah, we mess up. We don't have to get despondent. We don't have to get depressed. We don't have to leave the Lord because we've messed up. We can go back. We can repent. We can trust in that grace again. And He will forgive us. And not remember it anymore against us, so as that we still have that hope of eternal life. And any thoughts on that, passage? Okay. I wanted to go back and have a little note here myself. Okay. Before we look at 1 John 5, it's a long reading. You know what? Let's turn to 1 John 5. Get that and I'll do it later. 1 John 5, quickly. We've got 5 minutes. 1 John talking about here in 1 John 5. What's the subject here? What I can know? And just like we talked about a while ago, how can I know this? God wants us to know these things. And He makes it available to us to know these things. Because He knows the devil's out there. He knows that we can lose heart. We're talking about in our first reading there in Hebrews about encouraging one another and so that we don't lose heart and that we don't lose faith, but that we are assured of these things. The Holy Spirit, God, the Son of God, wants us to be assured of these things because they don't want us to lose heart. We're going to look at this. Okay, 1 John 5, 4 through 15, and I don't know if I had that on y'all's sheet or not. I might have changed it on my computer. 18 through 20. What can we know? Verse 4 and 5. What's it say? My faith and my obedience to Christ gives me what? 4 and 5.
Victory.
Victory. We don't have to lose the battle. We don't have to lose the battle of sin. We don't have to lose the battle of anything that the devil will hit at us. My faith, my trust, my obedience will give me victory. And knowing that keeps me going. Doesn't let me lose heart. Okay? Any thoughts? Okay. Verse 6 says, this is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not only with the water only, but with the water and the blood. Okay. And then 7 through 10, verse 13 and verse 20 speaks of how I can know these things other than that. We're going to come back to that, okay? We're going to do that last. Verse 11 through 13, what can I know? Let's read it. And the witness is this, that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. And the witness is this. He who has the Son has life. Who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. Speaking to Candace's question a while ago. 13. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God in order that. Here's what we can know. You may know that you have eternal life. Eternal life. So, God has given me all those who are in Christ. Eternal life through Him. And we're going to stop there and pick up, Lord willing, next Wednesday. I have lesson 3 for those who do not get work, that I do not send it on a computer. Don't know if we'll finish, but, you know, let's go on and take lesson 3, please. And it's here. And any questions before we have closing?